Behold our King. Nothing can compare to him. There is no God like him in heaven or earth. He is the one and the only. And we have gathered here, we've assembled here today to kiss toward him, to tell him that we love him, to worship him, to say thank you for all that you have done for us. We are truly a blessed people. Appreciate Whitlord's story. So thankful that God did not leave us here without a way of escape. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. Know your role. I created this little slide with the help of artificial intelligence, and then I told it to be a little more lifelike, a little more realistic, and it turned it into what looked like a Kodak moment, a picture. It was so real looking that I backed off of that and said, no, I don't want them to think that I was there and took a picture. So I said, no, let's go with the first one. Know your role. John chapter 1, pointing to Jesus. One of the greatest sources of frustration in life is trying to play a role that we were never meant to fill. We chase titles and achievements, applause, and identity in places that cannot sustain us. I was reading a devotional this last week. Some of you remember the Better Man series that we went through. I think it was last fall, but I signed up and I get a morning devotional. Maybe some of you have done that as well. But I read this devotional last week about this that puts it very plainly. A man who knows his role is a man who walks in confidence and clarity. John the Baptist is one of Scripture's clearest examples of a man who definitely knew his role. He never tried to be the Messiah. He never tried to be the center of attention. He understood who he was, and he understood who he was not. So John chapter 1, we see how God uses people who embrace their God-given role. We want to start at the beginning of the chapter, and I don't have time to preach two or three sermons this morning. I know you're thinking, Rodney, do it. We would love to hear it. Do it anyway. But we don't have time to delve into all of this, but I do want to start at the beginning of the chapter. Sort of important for setting the stage. The word of the Lord says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We know the rest of the story. We know from just a little bit later on in the chapter, in verse 14, that John says that that Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The old King James says that he tabernacled among us. I kind of like that. They would have envisioned the old tabernacle where God's presence was with them, and they would pick that tent up and move it as God told them to move. That's what would have come to their minds, that Jesus tabernacled with us. So we know that John's talking about Jesus here. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and nothing that has been made was made without him. He made everything. Everything that we see says through him all things were made. Nothing that has been made was not made without him. So this is Jesus that we're talking about. And so now we're talking about the messenger, not the Messiah. Picking up in verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, John the Apostle is writing this gospel. Every time the name John is mentioned in the gospel, he's not talking about himself, he's talking about John the Baptist. So that's who we're referring to. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So John, it says, was sent from God. John's identity didn't come from culture, it didn't come from career, didn't come from personal ambition. It came from a calling. He was called by God. He was sent. He had a mission. He had a role to play. And so do we. John's role was very clear. He was a witness. He was not the Savior. He came to testify. John's job was not to be the light. His job was to point people to the light. And this is where I think many of us struggle. Sometimes we want to be the hero of our own story. We want to be the fixer. We want to be the rescuer. We want to be the one who gets the credit. My daughter and I were looking at a video she was sharing with me just a couple of days ago about modern worship music, and it was very telling. It was very interesting. There's a lot of great music out today, and I love all kinds of music. A lot of beautiful worship songs. We just sang one, "Behold Our God Seated on the Throne. Come, let us adore Him." I love it. But there's kind of a wave of songs right now in some churches. And it seems like the common thread is Jericho. If you know from the story, when the children of Israel were coming into the Promised Land, the first thing that they had to do was conquer Jericho, right? So they crossed the Jordan, and they march around Jericho once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they march around seven times. They blow the horn, just like God told them to do. And the point of all of that is that they could not have done this without the power of God. It was all about God, okay? Not about them. Some of these modern worship songs, kind of what I referenced last week, it seems to be that we've made everything about us, even our own salvation. God loved me. He loved me so much. And it seems to become just about me and not about God's glory. And that's what we were focusing on last week. And some of these modern worship songs are talking about, well, this is my Jericho. Whatever's facing me in my life, whatever struggle I'm up against, that's my, quote, Jericho. And I'm going to tear down the walls. Just like they did, I can tear down the walls. And it's almost in the background that God is there somewhere. You know, God is present. But it seems to be, seems to me at least, when I'm listening to the song, that it's more about me and what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these walls. I'm going to tear down the walls of Jericho. And it seems to be the focus on me being the hero of the story. But the Bible says that we are witnesses. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the hero of the story. And when you know your role, you stop trying to carry what only Christ can carry. You don't have to be everyone's solution. You don't have to manufacture your own identity. You don't have to be the light. You just have to point people to the light. And that brings freedom. It also brings clarity. And it sort of brings rest. I think in my mind, growing up in the church all my life, it seemed like such a burden to try to have to bring somebody to the Lord. As if I had to save their soul. As if I had to snatch them away from Satan and bring them into the kingdom. That's never been our job. Our job is to point someone to Jesus. To point someone to the light. Jesus has already done all the heavy lifting. He's already done all the work. All we've got to do is to point them in that right direction. That's one of the things I love about Andrew in the Bible. We don't know a whole lot about Andrew, but the few times that we see him, he was always saying, just come see Jesus. Maybe we found the Messiah. I don't know, but just come see. He seems to always be pointing someone to Jesus. The world's confusion and God's clarity. Let's pick up in verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The world missed Jesus. The world didn't recognize him. We think about his own people didn't even recognize him. And when it says that he came to that which was his own, I think I used to always think in my mind that they're talking about the Jewish people, that Jesus was born under the law. He was born a Jewish man. He grew up, well, he was born a Jewish baby, and he grew up to be a Jewish man. And it says he came to his own, that which was his own, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. Literally what I think it's saying, because when we first read that Jesus was in the beginning, that nothing was made that was not made by him and through him and for him, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to that which was his own. He created all of it. He created the earth, the world, the planet, the stars, the moon, the sun. He created people, human beings. Jesus did that. So when it says he came to that which was his own, it's not just speaking about the Jewish people. It's just talking about the whole earth, the whole universe. It's his. He made it. That was his own. But no one recognized him. The people didn't recognize him. Why? Because they were looking for the wrong kind of hero. They wanted political power. They wanted military strength. They wanted a Messiah who fit their expectations. And when Jesus didn't fit their mold, they rejected him. Ultimately, they crucified him. And we do the same. We often reject Jesus' leadership because it doesn't match our preferences. We want Jesus, the life coach. Help us have a better life here and now. We want Jesus, the problem solver. Jesus, I'm in a bind. If you could just help me right now, if you could just get me out of this. We want Jesus, the blessing dispenser. But we don't want Jesus, the Lord. I've often realized in my own life how much we love the promises and the blessings that Jesus offers. Promise of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sin, the promise of a home in heaven with him forever. We love having a Savior, but we don't love having a King so much. We don't love having a Lord, because a King and a Lord gets to tell you what to do. And we live in America where nobody tells me what to do, right? I'm free. The land of the free. And so we love a Savior, but not so much a Lord. And when we misunderstand Jesus, we misunderstand our role. If you don't recognize who Jesus truly is, you'll never recognize who you truly are. The gift of a new identity. Let's pick up in verse 12. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here is the turning point. Our role begins with receiving Jesus. Not just admire him, not just agree with him, not just attend church for him, but receive him fully, personally, wholeheartedly. God gives us a new identity. When we receive Christ by obeying his gospel, we're not defined by our past. We are not defined by our failures. Anybody say amen to that? We are not defined by our achievements. We're not defined by our family line. We are defined by God himself. We become children of God, not by human effort, not by personal performance, not by some religious ritual, but by the power of God. And this identity clarifies our role. If you are a child of God, your role becomes crystal clear. You're not the hero. You are not the savior. You are not the center. The world doesn't spin around you. You are a son or a daughter of the King. And as such, you are called to reflect his light and to point people to Jesus. Look at him. Look at what he's done. Look at how awesome he is. That's what we're called to do. So what does it look like to know your role today? What would that look like? First of all, know your source. It says John was sent from God. And so are you. So am I. Your calling comes from him, not from culture, not from comparison, not insecurity. Know your source. You are called by God. There's something different about a calling. That when you feel like you have to do something, that's one thing. When you feel like you are called to do something, that's something completely different, is it not? I mean, when you feel like you have a calling, that's something that runs really deep. It's not just a have to. It's not just something that you're asked to do. But when you feel called to something, I mean, that's a tug on you. Something that you really want to do. So you got to know your source. John was sent from God, and so are we. Secondly, know your assignment. John's assignment was very simple. Point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Are you the Messiah? No, I'm not. But let me show you who he is. That is also our assignment. In your home, in your workplace, in your friendships, your community, your role is to make Christ visible. There's an old saying, and I love it, and I kind of don't, but your life might be the only Bible some people ever read. You've heard that saying? Your life might be the only Bible that some people ever read. It's kind of a neat saying. It's not enough, but it's a good place to start. You need to make Christ visible in your arena, in your community, in the sphere in which you live and work and play. That's the start, to make Christ visible. And then you earn the right to actually speak up and to point people to Jesus. Most people aren't going to come knocking on your door saying, "Steve, there's just something different about you, man. I don't know what it is. Tell me." Has that ever happened to you? It just doesn't happen very often. Maybe occasionally, but not very often. But if we live in front of people like Jesus, then we earn the right to actually open our mouths and speak up for him. So know your source, know your assignment, know your limits. John knew what he was not. You are not the Messiah. You're not the fixer. You are not the redeemer. You're not the center of the story. And that's good news, because you don't have to carry the weight of the world. Jesus has broad shoulders. He can do that. You cannot. And God never expected you to. He doesn't want you to. So know that you're not the center. And then know your identity. You are a child of God. That is your foundation. That is your security. And that is your role. So, closing challenge for us this morning: to step into your God-given role. Step into what God has called you to be and to do. John the Baptist lived with clarity because he embraced his God-given role. There's something freeing and there's something exciting when you step into something that you feel God has called you to. Not just something that you have to do, or not just something that you're supposed to do, but something that God has called you to do. About 12 years ago, when I first started, 12 or 14 years ago, I started going to Africa for the first time. And I'd been on mission trips. I've told you I've been on mission trips to Honduras and to Guyana, South America. Been to some local missions here in the States. But when I went to Africa, I think that was summer of 2014, it didn't just feel like something to do. It felt like I was called to it. I mean, I just couldn't wait to go back, you know. It felt like something that God was saying, you need to be a part of this. You need to do this. And so it felt so good, and it feels so good when I'm there, because every morning I wake up and I know what my purpose is. I know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know how the day is going to unfold necessarily, but I know preaching the gospel is going to be a part of it somewhere, somehow. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times, I don't know. But it's like you get up in the morning and you feel called to this. Not something that you had to do, but something that you felt called to do. And so that's a very powerful thing, knowing your identity as a child of God. It's so exciting. It frees you up. John the Baptist wasn't confused. He wasn't competing with anyone. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't performing. He was faithful. And he was obedient to his calling. And God used him powerfully. Used him powerfully. The world doesn't need more people trying to be the hero. The world needs more people pointing to the true hero, which is Jesus Christ. That's what we need. And so, my final exhortation this morning: know who you are. Know who you are not. Know who Jesus is. And know your role. And once you know that, it's so freeing. It's so freeing to point people to Jesus. It's never a fun thing to be rejected. And I think that's one of the reasons why we don't share our faith more often, is because we don't like to be rejected. But we have to understand, just like Jesus told his disciples, if they reject you, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting me. That's the bottom line. It doesn't feel good, though. It doesn't feel good when you try to share your faith and people kind of turn you off. But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus. And we've got to remember that. Our role is just to point people in that direction, to point people to the true light. That's what we as God's children are called to do. If you're not a child of God, your first responsibility is to come to him in faith and to say, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and to give your life to him.